Welcome to Landscape Smart, presented by Radiman Stone and Landscape Company. Call now with all of your landscaping, lawn, and garden questions at 923-1450. Toll free 1-888-900-1450 or airtime free on your U.S. cellular phone at #1450.
Okay, Pfizer News Time 8:10. That means it is indeed time for this week's edition of Landscape Smart. We have two experts in the studio this morning. We have got the one, the only, Ron Radiman. Good morning, sir. Yep. Let's give him a big round of applause.
So we've graduated up to experts, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's an honorary title, though. There's no certificate or anything.
No extra pay either.
Yeah. That goes without saying.
Yeah, do we get a raise for that?
After I do. And Master Gardener Joe is with us. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Good to see you again.
Thank you.
And you are there, and that means you have the questions, and that means you need to call them in. And our advice, as always, is to call them in early. We ended up ending the show last week with a couple callers hanging, and call early. Call early. Think about that. Call early. You can be the first caller. Don't be embarrassed.
And well, it's better than being the last caller. Like you said last week, there was one that we rushed through at the end. We didn't really even, I don't remember what the question was, but I don't know if we got the complete answer out or not. And then there was still one on mm-hmm. hold yet, at, you know, and I guess they got to make a request to Jerry while they were on hold. But
probably, yeah. Probably had their favorite polka after 9. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, you're going to have a secret caller today, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we will. That sounds like a great idea.
I thought it was.
That's maybe why nobody calls early, because they know you're not going to pick the first one as a secret caller.
But you never know.
We've picked the first one already.
He's done that, yeah. And actually, right now, he's kind of doing something a little bit different. He's kind of the best question of the week sometimes becomes the...
Yeah, the timely question of the week is what we kind of did. You know, I deviated a little bit from the caller number, like 3 out of the last 4 weeks, because they actually called up with a great timely question, mm-hmm. you know. So that's...
They magically became...
So anyway, if we don't get the timely question before we get to the secret question, secret caller, then we just...
You have the number and plan B. Yeah.
Always have to have a plan B in
Absolutely.
Place, especially when you're on the radio.
Y'all think? If nobody does anything, it gets really quiet on the receiving end. By the way, Radiman's open this morning.
Yeah, Radiman's always has a plan A and a plan B and a plan C, and plan A is always to be open at 7 o'clock every morning, and plan B is to close at noon on Saturdays and be open till 5 o'clock Monday through Friday.
There's plan C.
And plan C is all of the above.
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
But, yeah, so anyway, yeah, you can still get a delivery yet for today if you want. We keep our shredded black dirt indoors, so if you get a load of dirt, it will be dry today.
But get it early because of the forecast.
Right. You want to get it early, get it in place, and then when it rains late this afternoon, it'll kind of settle it right into place for you. So
perfect. The question is, will Fond du Lac get any of the rain today? Yesterday, they didn't. I was driving back from Milwaukee, and cars were pulled off the road. It was so bad. And then when I turned off on 151, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting... We were spade moving some trees yesterday afternoon on the north side of Fond du Lac, and, well, kind of the northeast side up in the Tachita kind of area, I guess you could call it. And the guys, you know, we were planting with this tree spade, and the guys were dirting them in and fertilizing them, things like that we do kind of as a follow-up to the plan. And, you know, they barely got wet. And, of course, by the time they got back to the nursery at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and out to Radiman's, the same thing. Boy, it had been pouring out there for about 45 minutes or an hour.
The heaviest traveled just south and then moved east of the city. They had severe storm warnings for eastern Fond du Lac County and Sheboygan County and even, I believe, Manitowoc County, and then later on, Dodge County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was kind of, you know, where Fond du Lac, at least the north side of Fond du Lac, maybe only got a couple tenths. Well, like you said, at the airport, they said only a
Two-tenths.
Two-tenths. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I didn't look
nothing at our house.
I didn't look at the rain gauge out at Radiman's, but I can tell you by the scope of things at the nursery where it was, there was definitely more than an inch of rain.
All
in about 45 minutes.
Yeah,
out and through that area. So I'm sure Oakfield.
There was nothing in my rain gauge. We were by Ryanzi Cemetery there. Uh-huh. Nothing.
But south of you.
Yeah, then you just get to, like, Lemira, I'm sure, got well over an inch.
Wow. 923-1450, lines are open for you. Give us a shout. Ready for your questions.
So it looks like, I don't know, we got another one taking aim on us here. Well, it's kind of like when they got a 50-50 chance of rain for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It's kind of, you got to, probably going to get a hit by one of them.
Somewhere down the line, we're going to get something, yeah. I haven't looked at our Institute of Color radar for an hour or so, but
yeah, I looked about an hour ago, too.
Off to the west, it's moving in from Minnesota, and that one looked like it was going to go mainly north.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's hard. Well, it was like Minneapolis, La Crosse, down through, you know, in through that area, and I didn't watch it long enough. I thought, well, I don't have to worry about that. That's at least 2, 3, 4 hours away. I'll worry about it
when it gets closer.
When it gets a little closer.
Mm-hmm. So all of these weathermen are telling you that if you did not get the rain, you should probably be out watering your gardens today.
Well, I had to do that this week. It was getting pretty crispy again.
It got pretty dry.
Yeah.
I was out there a couple days watering.
I was out there along with a lot of mosquitoes early in the morning when I was watering.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah. I haven't seen any yet.
And it's really, you know, as we're starting to do some fall planting right now with our tree spades, it's really amazing how dry it is once you get kind of past that first 4, 5, 6 inches, you know, where the grass is green in most areas. But as we've been digging down deeper, boy, we've been encountering a lot of dry, you know, it's almost sandy down deep. So.
All right. Got some calls coming in, so let's hit the phones. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling to, I was wondering, I have some petunias.
Yes.
And they're getting very anemic. They were nice and lush green, and now they're kind of a lime green, some of the branches. Is there something that I can do to help on that, or?
Have you been fertilizing?
Okay, I'm using Miracle-Gro pretty much every other day on them. I mean, I get a beautiful flower. It's just the vine itself is kind of.
What type of plant was it again? I didn't.
Petunias.
Oh. The bubblegum.
The bubblegums?
Yeah.
That's.
Well, Miracle-Gro would be the best, you know, to for them at this time of year yet, I would think. And
are they in pots or are they in the ground?
The ones that they're all in pots. Quite a few of them are hanging pots.
Okay. I guess I don't have an answer for that other than if you're watering every day, that might be too much unless, you know, you have to monitor how dry they are in the pots.
Yeah, I do that. And it's probably every other day.
Mm-hmm. And you said you're kind of using Miracle-Gro as in each time you're watering?
Maybe every other time.
Uh-huh. So
that
let's
might
say
be
a couple weeks, a couple times a week, that would be almost a little too much.
I was just going to say that. It might be too much for them.
Okay. And do you think that would cause the anemic look to the...
Well, it could. It could be burning them. You know, because that, and in a pot like that, they're
pretty constrained.
Yeah, they're, you know, it isn't going to displace real well. It's hitting them 100% in the root system. I would maybe back off on that a little bit if you can.
Yeah, once a week, once every 2 weeks is
Usually every, you know, every 10 days, every 2 weeks would be often enough on water-soluble fertilizers like Miracle-Gro. So you might be kind of burning them a little bit.
All right. Because I know when I water them, the water goes right through them. You know, it's just kind of like a shower.
Oh, then they're probably root bound and maybe.
Maybe there's not enough soil in the pots. Yeah, you know, it's kind of a, I mean, it's, if you want to get a couple months worth of life out of them, it probably would be best to repot them, put them in a little bit bigger pot, give them a little more dirt to work with, because that's what it almost sounds like, is that they're pot bound.
Yeah, if it just drains right through.
I think if you pull them out of those pots, what you're going to find is just a solid mass of roots and not enough dirt, so to speak. So I just get a little bit larger pot if you can. And then, you know, and it doesn't always take much. If you can get an inch of soil all the way around, that's just enough. And then, you know, if there's scarify the roots just a little bit so that they kind of start regenerating new growth, and then go back with your program. But once every 10 days or every 2 weeks, like Joe said, that's enough for Miracle-Gro. So,
okay. Well, yeah. I was wondering if they were at the end of their season and just let them go, but maybe I'll try that.
I don't know. It's only the first week of August, so, I mean, it'd be nice to get a couple more weeks out of them. You know, those should make it through. I mean, if we don't get a frost till the end of September, I mean, that's almost 2 months yet.
And the bubblegum are pretty hardy around here. They're one of the better varieties.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for the call. And thank you for the... Whoa, I guess they gave up. Good morning. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Am I on the air?
You are.
Okay, I got some grapevines, all right? And the leaves on the grapevines look like a bug or something was chewing on them and spitting them back out. Is that a fungus or what's? I don't know what's going on with them. They look horrible.
Would you say it's on the new growth or on the older leaves?
The new growth.
Right on the new growth. Well, that does sound
like some's eating them. Then.
Yeah, that would be more than likely an insect. Sometimes you'll see like some funguses or, you know, some beetles or whatever eating on the old growth or that was there and gone, then there's really nothing to do or nothing to worry about. But if it's on the new growth, then it's there right now yet. And it's, so that would be something that probably should be tended to. And the best product would be the insecticide 8, as in the numeral 8. And that you could spray in it. You know, you want to avoid spraying it when it's maybe above 85 degrees. But so just kind of watch the weather here over the next few days, because it's kind of right on that bubble as far as, you know, temperatures in the mid and upper 80s. And then just pick a day where it's forecast to be a little cooler, and then spray it early in the morning.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
All righty. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Good luck with it. Notice, too, that there are a lot of mildews and funguses. Yeah, we get some rain, and all of a sudden, wow.
Well, the rain and the warm weather.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's
And we've had a lot of, you know, this, I'm going to call it smoggy weather, you know, where the sun isn't out to kind of burn things off.
A lot of smoke.
Yeah, and you notice, like, over the last week, it was hot. It was in the mid-upper 80s, but Without the sun,
right?
So that kind of breeds a little more of those fungus issues and things like that.
Yeah, when the air quality alert is for people, it's also for plants.
Right, it works kind of the same way. So
let's take a break.
It's time for, that sounds like a good idea, no callers. We'll probably have a few when we get back.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Radiman's open today until noon. Monday through Friday until 5. We're just located just 3 miles south of Fond du Lac. You could take Main Street, turns into 175, or Highway 41 and exit off on County B, and we're just east of 41 by a quarter mile.
The Children's Museum of Fond du Lac summer hours are Wednesday through Saturday, 9 till 4, featuring tons of new summer fun activities. Every Saturday at 10 a.m., explore Wonders with Words, an interactive literary experience to help prevent summer learning loss. Sponsored by Altrusa International and Mid-States Aluminum. To buy your membership, go to cmfdl.org.
The Children's Museum of Fond du Lac, connecting kids through a partnership of learning through play. Hi, I'm Brock Radiman with Radiman Stone and Landscape. As the first member of our fourth generation family-owned business, I'm proud to carry on the tradition of providing quality stone products to Fond du Lac and the surrounding areas. Adding Radiman's natural landscape stone to your backyard will embellish your outdoor living areas. We also offer natural thin and full veneer stone for indoor applications such as fireplaces, or outdoor applications to combine with or replace your siding or brick. Radiman Stone and Landscape, where we have the materials to do the best work on earth.
I'm Tony Burrell, Superintendent of the Wisconsin State Patrol. Public safety is our primary mission. Every day, our troopers and inspectors work hard to keep people and commerce moving safely. But drivers need to do their part. That means following these simple rules. Buckle up, phones down, slow down. Thanks for helping us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A life-saving message sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
We're at our best when we stand together.
That's when we make the impossible
possible. That's what Stand Up To Cancer has done.
Because you stood up.
Because of you, we're making the impossible
possible.
We're committed to making every cancer patient a long-term survivor.
Together, we stand up to cancer.
Join Stand Up To Cancer for one night as we stand together. Tune in Saturday, August 21st at 8, 7 Central on ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC.
KFI's News Time, 826. We are back. This is Landscape Smart, brought to you by Radiman Stone and Landscape Company. The number is 923-1450, 1-888-900-1450. That is toll-free for you out-of-towners. Give a shout. Got a caller, so let's hit the phones. Good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello. My wife's got some peonies. They look just beautiful, and as soon as they get done blooming, then they start turning all white with mildew. What's going on here?
It's powdery mildew. That happens with peonies. If they're too close together, and it there's really nothing you can do with it at this point.
You would have had to apply a fungicide almost at the before they start flowering, and some varieties are just worse for that mildew, and some locations, you know. So if you're in a location where they're kind of annually getting that powdery mildew, it's best just to, you know, spray them with a fungicide each year. You know, you do two or three applications earlier in the season. It's too late now.
Do you have the old-fashioned peonies?
Good question. I'm just calling for my wife.
Oh, okay. because I know I have peonies that have been handed down for a couple generations, and they're not as disease-resistant as the new ones that are out there.
Yeah, these are probably, they've been around a long time there. She got them handed to her from her...
Right.
Her mother and her mother-in-law and everything else out there.
Right, yeah.
They've been in the ground here a long time, too.
Yeah, so they're just not as disease-resistant. And I know with mine that they get the mildew or they get black spots, and then I just cut them off. It won't make any difference for the plant for next year.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing in years past. But I thought there was maybe a quick fix to it.
No, not, you know, you could, once they're done blooming, if you wanted to leave some of the foliage still on there, you could cut some of the foliage out so that there's more airflow. But that's about it. You just have to enjoy the plants for what they are.
Yeah, the fact that they're probably planted like only a foot or two apart there.
That would be an issue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you need more air circulation, more sunlight.
So you know, other than actually, you know, digging them up and moving them so they're farther apart, there's not really a good solution.
Okay.
The only other thing, I mean, you just have to be kind of proactive. If they're like that way every year, then just get your you know, spray your fungicides on them more starting already around, you know, mid-May or, you know, Memorial Day weekend. And then, you know, spray them then, wait a couple weeks, spray them again, wait a couple weeks, spray them again. And that'll knock those funguses down as they're kind of just getting started. Then, you know, then enjoy the flowers and you won't, they won't look so bad right now. Sure. But you have to kind of get after it way earlier. There's just, like Joe said, there's really not much you can do anymore now. So,
yeah, like when they first start popping out of the ground is a good time to probably hit them with the first dose, huh?
Right. Once they're up, you know, maybe knee high even, you know, get them, you know, that would be a good time. So, you know, towards the middle or end of May, get started and then do it. I'd say maybe 3 applications, 10 days apart, 2 weeks apart. That then you may get a little mildew yet at this time of year, but you'll knock out about 90% of it. So
sounds good. We'll give her a try.
All right. Good luck next year.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, and thank you for waiting. You're on.
Morning, folks. I was just wondering. Now I've never had asparagus beetles before until this year. Do they lay eggs that hatch in the spring in the ground?
Asparagus beetles.
What do the beetles look like?
Are they so they're attacking the root system, or they're attacking?
No, they're
plant,
on the. They're on the plant, and then they leave eggs. You can see the eggs on the side. They're a little black speck, and they just feed on the plant. My friend of mine had them last year and the year before. And they just pretty much decimated the asparagus plants. They're a small bug, and they're green with a yellow stripe down the middle of their back. But they're real tiny. They're real small.
Uh huh. And you see them more later in the season, like this, more so than like when you're picking asparagus.
No, earlier in the season I did. Now I don't see them much now at all. But that, and I never had potato beetles before either. I'm just wondering if either one of those would leave eggs in the soil that hatch next year.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I think what I would do is I would, you know, I'm generally on those type of insects, if you want to, you know, like diatomaceous earth that you could sprinkle on in the patch, that would be something that you could try. The other, we do have an annual tree and shrub, which you put on in the soil also. That gets applied like more in October or November. And I would use those products more at that time of year and then see how it works come next spring. And, well, the diatomaceous earth you could put on at any time. The annual tree and shrub that we have out at Radiman's, that you just mix up in a sprinkling can or a 5-gallon bucket and then just pour it around the plant. And that you would do in October or November before the ground freezes, but at the end of the season.
Well, I was wondering if these insects migrate in or if they're actually in the ground and they develop in the spring, you know, so I didn't know if it was they were just coming in or if they were already around. But like I said, I never had them before, so I kind of thought maybe they were migrating in.
Well, generally beetles don't, you know, if you've got a stronger, you know, there's so many different types of these, you know, we call them beetles. But generally they work, like you said, they work in the soil and they don't, if you might get one to fly in here and there, but that wouldn't be, it wouldn't create a large infestation like what you're kind of describing.
Sure. No,
so that's why I would have a hunch that those are probably generating right in your own yard. Mm-hmm.
When's a good time to put down asparagus seed? It says on the package, of course, that you buy the package in the spring. It says wait till the ground is thawed and you first hit 60-degree day. But, you know, you get the seed berries on the asparagus and they fall to the ground and they grow new plants in the spring. I'm just wondering if I can plant some seed now.
I would probably
not.
I don't know about right now. I would probably have a tendency to wait either until again, maybe like October, November, put it in then, and then it'll be right. ready to grow in the spring.
Sure.
Or otherwise earlier spring. I mean, asparagus.
Usually you plant them from a plant.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put seed down. That's going to take years.
Yeah. Well, sure. But it's already in an established patch, so I'm just filling in, you know.
Well, and if you've got an established patch, it might be better just to work with
what you have.
Work with what you've got and fertilize those and get it to kind of expand, and then you could even divide it a little bit or, you know, move it around that way. Because if you start mixing in some seed with what you've got, that's going to be a tough, you know, that's going to take years for that to get. You're going to have a lot of little spindly spears of asparagus for quite a few years
before
it really turns into good asparagus, unless you're starting a whole new area. But there again, too, I would divide what I had before I would plant new seeds.
Yeah. Sure.
Now,
all right.
Wait, hang on a second. There's a whole lot, I'll speak for myself, an expert on everything, but you can find a lot. I have Googled asparagus beetle.
Sure. And that's what I did, too.
If you do that, there is a whole lot of information on there about how to take care of them and when.
I did. I do YouTube, and then they have videos right there, and you can click on the one. I usually go to the one that got the most watches.
Well, I would go to the one that has the most credible.
Yeah.
Like the University of Minnesota or the University of Wisconsin, you can always go online there. And,
sure.
Yeah, those are usually like the ones that do studies on it or,
right.
Or the botanical garden sites, things like that. Those are kind of if you're starting to look for information online,
yeah,
that's usually
sure
the best
I'd
place
do
to
YouTube.
Start.
YouTube is just anybody doing whatever they want and putting it on the social media. I would check more through the University of Wisconsin Extension.
Is Madison Park's grass seed, is that bluegrass?
It's a blend of different bluegrasses. Yeah, there's a.
We have a lot of it. We have 2 50-pound bags. But I've used it and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is we found it to be the best blend. And there again too, that came out of studies through the university in Madison. So
right.
So that's kind of again it's always a good place to start. But yeah, and that's why we've been using. I don't know, I planted Madison Park's grass seed when I was 14, 15, 16 years old. So the blend has changed. It changes a little bit. Almost every year they'll drop one variety and put in another one because it's better, more disease-resistant, rust-resistant, different things like that. So
50
sounds good.
Pounds is a lot of grass seed.
Well, we had 4 acres.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay.
So,
then 50 pounds doesn't go too far on 4 acres.
But, well, there were 250 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
But a bunch of it went to the guy I work for. He's got land by Montello, and he took a bunch over there, too. So, so anyway. All right.
Okay.
I don't want to hang on long enough. Thanks.
All right.
Yep.
Good luck. Thank you for the call. 923-1450. Lines are available. Let's take a break.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. Sounds like a good idea. Radiman's open today until noon. You can still get a delivery from us today. 920-922-7612. Or you can visit us online. www.radiman.com. Doesn't get much more difficult than that.
Or even easier. We'll be right back.
How do you like your burger? Do you like Swiss or cheddar, ketchup or mustard, double the bacon? No matter how you like to top your burger, everyone agrees that a really good burger should start with a really great bun. That's why the bakers of Village Hearth put so much care into making their natural buns. Baked with good stuff like toasted whole grains and natural honey, you're sure to find a variety that's just right for you. So no matter how you like your burger, Village Hearth has the perfect bun to build it on. Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Hi, I'm Brock Rademan with Rademan Stone & Landscape. As the first member of our fourth generation family-owned business, I'm proud to carry on the tradition of providing quality stone products to Fond du Lac and the surrounding areas. Adding Rademan's natural landscape stone to your backyard will embellish your outdoor living areas. We also offer natural thin and full veneer stone for indoor applications such as fireplaces, or outdoor applications to combine with or replace your siding or brick. Rademan Stone and Landscape, where we have the materials to do the best work on earth.
The Children's Museum of Fond du Lac summer hours are Wednesday through Saturday, 9 till 4, featuring tons of new summer fun activities. Every Wednesday at 10 a.m., ignite your child's thinking and build their creativity with hands-on STEAM learning focused on cars, dinosaurs, bees, and more. Sponsored by J.F. Ahern and the Korb Family Foundation. To buy your membership, go to cmfdl.org.
The Children's Museum of Fond du Lac, connecting kids through a partnership of learning through plan.
As an emergency medical technician, I hope motorists can remember these four life-saving words. Buckle up, phones down. It means wear a seatbelt. Every seat, every trip. And when driving, stay focused on the road ahead. Protect yourself, spare your family, and emergency responders from needless trauma.
Do your part to help us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads. A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
KFI's the news time, 841. Welcome back. This is Landscape Smart, brought to you by Radom & Stone and Landscape Company, 923-1450. And a couple of lines are available, and our next caller, I promised to be number two, but number one departed. So you now became number one. Good morning. You're on the air.
Well, good morning. Hey, I called last week, and I told you that the leaves were falling off of my oak tree, and somebody told me I have oak wilt.
Oh, yes.
Now, can you? Is there a cure for that, or what can I do? Or do I have to have the tree cut down, or can you tell me what my... I'm at my wit's end.
Well, if it really is oak wilt, then there isn't really a cure for it, because oak wilt is a fungus that attacks the root system in oak trees. And so what it does is as it's killing off some of the roots, which could be 4 feet down, 8 feet down, 12 feet down maybe on an oak, then, you know, it has less energy going up to the tree that can support the tree. The best thing to do for oak wilt would be to thin out the crown, and that way you've got less, less leaves, less branches for the root system to support. And it's a little early to do that. You don't want to do it, though, now until middle of October, end of October, because you don't want to spread those oak wilt spores around by trimming at this time of year. So the best way to do that is, where are you actually located?
In Oakfield.
In Oakfield?
Yeah.
I would maybe talk to Trevor Jacobs. He's pretty good with things like that. That would be the and he's, you know, he's in your area, he's very knowledgeable, and he would actually even be able to identify for sure that you do have oak wilt.
Well, the guy that I talked to does tree work, and this is what he told me. And we have he said, look way up high, and there's a big dead branch way up. But I'll tell you, if it came from the root, I'm wondering. A couple years ago, they did redid our street, and they took my terrace and they took my sidewalk out and gave me a big ditch. And I'm wondering if some of them roots were there, and they, when they dug the ditch, they cut it. Is that, do you think that's how that got through the root?
Well, and that could be, and maybe it isn't oak wilt then.
Because, well, the leaves are falling just terrible. I'll tell you, every time I want to mow the lawn, I got to run the sweeper to pick them all up. It looks terrible.
Well, it's, the thing is, if there was damage to the root system, what that means is there's just not enough roots to support all of those leaves and branches. So, you know, When you lose part of the root system, whether it's through excavation, construction, or oak wilt, if you lose the part of the root system, the tree is going to compensate that and start, you know, some of the leaves will drop and some of the branches won't leaf out the following year then because there's not enough roots there to feed the tree. So
eventually the tree will die then?
No. I would do the same thing. I would thin the tree out, take out some of the pressure, take off some of the branches, and you don't need to cut the top off of it. Thin it out, and just make less. The tree then has less leaves to support with its new smaller root system. So then you'll have a better overall healthier tree because you got to rebalance the top of the tree with the bottom of the tree is kind of the...
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I have another question.
So definitely don't saw the tree down because you want to, you know, take out it and, you know, depending on the degree of it, maybe you take out 25% of the top, maybe you take out 33%. But, you know, and the sooner you do that, the better, because that way you get to pick out the branches rather than the tree picking out the leaves and the branches. I would maybe wait until
October
just to make sure, because it could be oak wilt, but maybe it isn't. You know that because the signs or the symptoms would be the same.
Well, I'm going to tell you, them trees are old. When we bought this farm in 1947, they were big, mature trees at that time. And Mr. Reese lived in Oakfield, and he was a tree man, and he told me every tree has a life expectancy just like people. So I thought maybe that's why it was losing its leaves. I thought it was going to die. But I have another question. I have another oak tree, and it's near there. And the man that told me if they touch... branches from my good tree are touching the other tree, that tree's going to die too. Is that true?
The branches wouldn't matter, but if it's got oak wilt, the roots of one tree could infect the roots of a neighbor tree, but the top wouldn't, but the roots would.
Yeah, and they are close together, so the roots are probably close together, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well. And there, you know, you could try like trenching or anything like that to sever those roots from. Is the other one starting to show signs of?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I almost think it was the construction then that created the problem rather than oak wilt.
So. Yeah, I think so too. Well, I thank you for your help.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, it's always interesting because, you know, it's kind of some of those, the symptoms look the same. You know, it could be oak wilt or it could have been the construction. But if it was oak wilt, I almost think it would be, you'd be seeing it in the other one then too. So in trees, you know, I mean, these oaks, they might be 150 years old. They might be 200 years old. They might be 250 years old. So if they're only 150, they might have another 100 years to go.
Oh, that would be nice because I hate to lose them.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again.
All right.
Great. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Moving on to our next caller. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
I'm having trouble with my phlox. It has a lot of mildew. And so what causes something like that? I cannot seem to grow phlox that are pretty.
Phlox are one of the flowers that, in particular, that are susceptible to powdery mildew.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the older ones are not as disease resistant. If you plant newer ones, they're more disease resistant.
They've bred them for special.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if there's really nothing you can do other than spread them out, because the mildew is caused by not having enough air circulation among the plants.
And phlox are so full and dense.
Right.
It's hard to have good phlox and have them be open enough to...
Right. They're very susceptible. So if you have you know, the older ones, and I'm talking, you know, about a generation ago, they're going to be more susceptible, and there's really nothing that you can do about that, other than, you know, plant some new ones or move them so that they're not so close together or surrounded by other plants.
Well, this was supposed to be a red one, and it had plenty of space and plenty of air, but it was so awful looking. I cut it all the way down, and I might as well just give up on it.
Well, that might be your answer. There's really nothing you can do with the powdery mildew.
Because it really looks awful.
Right. It loses all those, the leaves turn brown, and it doesn't look pretty. I know. I have had that, too.
It kind of goes back to, you know, you could try spraying a fungicide, but it's too late again right now. You would have had to do it back in early June or so.
I think I sprayed a couple times, but that didn't even seem to do anything.
Yeah, once it's there, it's really hard to get rid of.
And then I was going to mention, too, Waupun has a terrible problem with Japanese beetles, but I don't have near as many as I did a couple years ago. Now, our daughter, she has bags full, and they take it to the dump, or when I had bags full, we would actually cremate them.
Burn them.
Yep. But Waupun has a big, big problem with Japanese beetles.
Yeah, it's, you know, some areas are just, they, you know, as those things get going, it's pretty hard to, they run in cycles, they'll go bad for a few years, and then.
And in different places. I think Fond du Lac hasn't had an infestation.
You're lucky.
Yeah, it's less prevalent in Fond du Lac because our soils are a little heavier. Yeah. Here, it seems like if it's a sandier soil, drier soil, again, you can kind of, you know, by irrigating, watering more often, you can kind of knock those things down. So kind of keep that in mind. You know, I mean, there's insecticides that you put on the ground. But the wetter you can keep your lawn, it just, you know, the insects, those Japanese beetles, they like dry, sandy soil. So if you can irrigate more often, water more often, those are just kind of the best ways to do your, you know, if you want to be a little more organic gardening, or do, you know, keep your lawn in good health and keep watering that.
Well, my new rose bush, I mean newer, it's like 3 years old, I have to dig with scissors or something, they will be right in the bud, the new bud.
Uh-huh.
They're embedded.
Wow.
And the hibiscus, oh my goodness, there'll be three of them.
Yeah, they love those.
Yeah. But anyway,
there's definitely certain plants that they prefer. And if you have those areas or areas in your yard, at Radiman's we have a product. It's called Annual Tree and Shrub. And you put that in the fall, late fall, and then it knocks those beetles down. It may not get every one, but you'll get knock the population of them down to a point where they're not a problem or not as big of a problem.
But it is a lot less than it was, you know, a couple years ago. But even my potted stuff that I pot, it'll be really on most anything. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But you're doing the right thing by picking them off and burning them. Don't take them someplace else.
Yeah, once they fly off and lay more eggs, it's just
almost every day I gather as many as I can and I put them in bleach water.
All right.
That'll do it.
I thank you.
All righty, thanks for the call, and let's move on to another one. Good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, Ron and gang. I got a little shed in my back lawn that's 8x10,
and the south wall faces the sun. Now on that shed on the south wall this year, in good black soil, nice black soil, I rototilled it and put in 6 tomato plants and 6 pepper plants. And now the sun shines on that light gray side of my shed down on these plants. All summer long, my 6 pepper plants and my 6 tomato plants haven't grown more than 2 inches. They're teeny little tiny plants. And I'm just wondering if the sun is reflecting off the side of my shed and causing too much heat, or I have a black walnut tree that's about 25 feet away. My pepper plants and my tomato plants haven't grown more than a couple inches. And what do you think's my problem?
It's definitely the black walnut
tree.
Yeah, tomatoes and black walnuts do not coexist.
Right.
Yeah, you'll never get tomatoes. I'm surprised they're even alive. Usually they just kind of wilt and die.
Right.
But maybe the soil there hasn't quite, but is it they root down deeper and get in into more of the existing soil? Yeah, you'll never get tomatoes to work. Work there.
Mm-hmm. That's 25 feet away, though. That's beyond the drip line of the tree.
Well,
they go farther than that.
Yeah, the roots on some trees go to the drip line, and the roots on some other trees don't make it to the end of the drip line, and the roots on some other trees go beyond the drip line. So, you know, if you're... the nuts and the leaves and, you know, that's all, you know, if there's any of that kind of fell in there through the time, you know, in time or last year, you know, if it was rototilled in there, and that might be why they're kind of surviving but not thriving too, is there's just some of the juglone in your soil, but maybe not enough to kill them, but just enough to affect them or keep them from growing and doing well.
If you want to plant your tomatoes and peppers there, you're almost going to have to raise it up and put a couple feet of dirt, make a wall, make a raised garden there, and not just plant them directly into the soil.
Okay, I understand. I was just wondering if the shed faces the sun and it's painted light gray, and the sun on a hot day shines against that south wall, and it does reflect a little heat down on my plants, and I was just wondering if it was that or if it was the black walnut that was 25 feet away.
Yeah, I don't think
it's not the shed.
Because they can handle... You know, the heat.
Yeah. I have my tomatoes and peppers planted next to my house, which is also light gray and on the south side. And I don't have an issue with the heat.
It might even be helpful once they get going. You know, this year was a little bit different. It was really hot already back in June.
Right. We've had a jungle since June.
So that was a little bit of a challenge. With all that hot weather way back then, they weren't really started yet. But yeah, I don't think that would have been it. I'd be more worried about the black walnut.
Okay, well, these little plants have got, the pepper plants have got little peppers on, about as big as a nickel. And the tomato plants got a little tomatoes on about as big as a quarter, and that's, and I've been faithfully watering them all summer long, and I was just amazed that they never grew. The plant never got more than 2 or 3 inches higher than I planted it.
Well, you're lucky that you even have those.
All righty, thanks for the call. We're out of time.
You didn't do secret caller, did you?
Oh
no.
Oh,
we'll take two next week.
All right. Well, we can do that too.
We're easy.
All right. Sorry about that. Anyway, we get so carried away, we forget what we're doing around here. Radiman's open today until noon, Monday through Friday until 5. We're just 3 miles south of Fond du Lac, just east of Highway 41 on County Trunk B, as in boy. You can still get a delivery yet today, 920-922-7612.
And thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to Joe, thanks to Ron Radiman, and thanks to you for your calls. We'll be back again next week for another edition of Landscape Smart, brought to you by Radiman Stone and Landscape Company. Jerry Schneider is next on KFIZ Fond du Lac. It's 9 o'clock.